Luke chapter 13, verse number 10. On the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? And should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated. But the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. And then Jesus asks, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? Is it like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his garden? It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air perched on its branches." Again, he asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? Is it like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough?" 18 years. That's a 1 followed by an 8. That's voting age. 18 years. We meet this morning a woman who has been bent over, can't even look up. And she's been that way for 18 years. Speaking of misery, some of you have been battling colds and viruses and flu symptoms for it seems like weeks. And the minute we are relieved of such sicknesses, oh, how we exclaim relief. Some of you know that I suffer from time to time from migraine headaches. I know some of you suffer from the same condition. There are sometimes stretches where I will have a migraine headache for 2-3 days straight. It gets to a point where I have to convince myself to just operate with a migraine, or else I'll just be laid out in bed with no lights on. No, don't touch me. Don't come around me. I'm nauseous, but I've conditioned myself to work with the migraine because they last so long. But the day I wake up with no headache, I leap out of bed and I do a little dance. The feeling of not having a headache is exhilarating. One time I got so excited, I got up, I started jumping on the bed, I slipped off the side and hit my head on the wall and got another headache. Can you imagine having a headache for 18 years? Can you imagine being stuck, bent over for 18 years? Does anyone in here suffer from scoliosis? This is a condition that is suffered by about 3% of people. Mindy Lisa over here has raised her hand. She has it. There are varying degrees of this condition, ranging from mild to severe. Meet Rebecca, a 14-year-old who was diagnosed with scoliosis in 2004. She has undergone surgery to correct her curvature, but her back had a curvature at about 60 degrees. We hope the surgery was successful, and so does she, as she's a member of her school's championship 4x100 relay team. But it breaks my heart to think that this young lady will suffer the physical and emotional effects of this back problem for years to come. I mean, put yourself in the shoes of this woman in the text and this young girl. I was going to demonstrate it and get one of the young fellas to come over and just bend over and stay that way and take a football and play catch with them. Can you imagine the difficulty and the emotional toil that being in a condition where you're bent over for 18 years? You can't help but have compassion for Rebecca or someone who has this crippling condition. And if you were in the shoes of this woman in the text, you would want the same compassion. And that compassion is what she received. The text says, when Jesus saw her. We have seen in the past, as we look through the gospel stories and these encounters that Jesus had with folks, that Jesus didn't walk around with his head in the air and his nose up and he didn't notice people. But Jesus took note of people, and he took note of people's condition, and he looked at this woman and he saw her, and he saw her condition, and he saw her misery. He didn't even have to talk to her to understand that this woman had been bound by something, that this woman had been stuck in this position for years, that this woman wanted some relief. He looked at her, he saw her, and he had compassion. He saw the pain. He saw the frustration. He saw the bondage. Luke says that this condition was the result of an evil spirit. The text says, crippled by an evil spirit. Jesus said later on that Satan was the one that had kept her bound. Now, I don't know what to make of that. Does this mean every time someone gets the flu or cold, it's not because people are not washing their hands or it's not because we're coughing on each other and sneezing on each other, but it's because Satan is sticking us with the flu bug? I don't know. Is it the devil? I don't know the answer. But I believe that we have a case here where it's undeniable that the physical and the spiritual is interconnected. We would be outright dismissive to think that people with sicknesses or diseases or long-term conditions don't suffer some sort of spiritual setbacks. I've spoken in the past about my father-in-law, Chrissy's dad, who suffered from diabetes and was a double amputee. And I was just speaking a few days ago about a story years ago when we were in Michigan visiting, and he and I went out to lunch together. And I remember it was the first time I ever had eggs over easy. I remember thinking, this yellow goo is pretty good. But I also remember looking my father-in-law in his eyes. And I remember having a conversation with him where he said, man, I wish I had my legs back. And he put his head down. He didn't talk much. And I remember saying, this yellow goo is good. And I wish I was Jesus. And I wish I could just touch his legs. And I wish they'd just come right back. I saw someone who was suffering a physical ailment, but was having a spiritual setback. Now, I'm not suggesting that there are no moments to be spiritually set back by our sicknesses. It happens. Sometimes we just want it to go away. Right now, let's go to the synagogue. It was at a synagogue that the collision of faith and freedom and the touch of Jesus would take place. During the days of Jesus, the synagogue had become one of the most important settings for Jews. It had become a place for worship and a place to receive teaching from God's word. It's safe to say that our contemporary setting in church today much more resembles the gathering in a synagogue as opposed to gatherings at the temple. There are expectations when you come to the synagogue, particularly on a holy day like the Sabbath. When you come together at the synagogue, you expect to learn from the Torah. You expect to share in some expression from one of the Psalms. And you expect to pray to Jehovah. But what about the unexpected? Do we ever come together with the expectation to expect the unexpected even amidst our expected expectations? In other words, do we come together just to get and see what we always get and see? What leads us to put God in a box? And what leads us to have no expectation of having an encounter with one another and with God that will be life-altering and life-changing? Now, I can't speak for the woman with the back issue. Maybe she wasn't expecting something to happen, but something did happen. Jesus noticed her. He had compassion on her, and he said, "Be free." Oh, take a listen to Jesus saying, "Be free." Jesus didn't disappoint in fulfilling his calling. You see, recall earlier in Luke, Jesus was recorded as saying this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." Now read this underlined phrase with me. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind." Read this underlined with me. "To release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This woman was bound for 18 years. She was in prison. She was a victim of oppression. Aren't you glad that on the Sabbath in the synagogue, Jesus had in mind to give somebody freedom? Now, I can't guarantee from week to week that Sunday will be the day that God will release somebody from their bondage. But I can say with equal clarity that I don't that today won't be the day that somebody is set free and released from their bondage. And let me add that it's perfectly fine for us to come together with expectations of God's supernatural activity in our midst, not just on Sunday, but on any day of the week, because he is able. How many of you want freedom? Freedom from sin, freedom from debt, freedom from pain, freedom from disappointment, freedom from doubt, freedom from confusion. How many of you want freedom? You know, every 4th of July, we celebrate freedom. We commemorate the signing of the delivery of the Declaration of Independence. We have barbecues. We light firecrackers. We go to firework displays. We go to Red, White, and Boer. We get a day off of work to celebrate what? Freedom. So it should come as no surprise that this woman, once she was released from that spirit, she praised God. Maybe she shouted hallelujah. Maybe she said praise Jehovah. Maybe she quoted that psalm, Psalm 129, that says, "They have greatly oppressed me from my youth, let Israel say. They have greatly oppressed me from my youth, but they have not gained the victory over me. Plowmen have plowed my back and made their furrows long. But the Lord is righteous. He has cut me free from the cords of the wicked." Church, it's all right to celebrate when you've been set free. This is why it is not okay to take for granted periods of celebratory worship. That is why it's not okay to sing and be happy with a frown on your face. That's why it's okay to sing, "Clap your hands, all ye people," and shout to joy with a voice of triumph. Now, I'm not suggesting that there are no moments to be reflective, somber, or pensive, but sometimes we just need to celebrate our freedom. Amen. And that is what this woman did. She praised God, much to the disapproval of the synagogue ruler. Maybe there was a feeling of being upstaged by this new superstar named Jesus. Maybe it was seeing something out of the ordinary during the worship gathering. If this keeps up, people will be wanting something different every week. Maybe it was as the ruler protested. He thought it was improper for Jesus to do what he did on the Sabbath. Now, this wasn't the first time and wouldn't be the last time that Jesus was questioned for his actions on the Sabbath. But church, simply amazing that in the face of a miracle and something extraordinary, someone finds something to be critical about. Why not, as the ruler, lead the congregation in praise? So I came here with some intentions to teach you from the book of Exodus, but look what just happened. But instead, complaint, accusation. Jesus addressed the complaint. He was as witty as he always was, relating the situation to unbinding an animal to lead it to a drink of water. If you're going to do that on the Sabbath for your animal, why would you set free a human? Text says from the Message, but Jesus shot back, "You frauds. Each Sabbath, every one of you regularly unties your cow or donkey from the stall, leads it out for water, and thinks nothing of it. So why isn't it at all right for me to untie this daughter of Abraham and lead her from the stall where Satan has had her tied these 18 years?" You see, this story is about two categories of people. People who are bent over, suffering from the oppression of a sickness, illness, or condition, and people who are just simply bent out of shape. Church, there is hope for both. Because if we let him, Jesus can straighten us up. And when we get straight, watch out as we get our praise on. And others witnessing this praise have a choice to praise with us or stay bent out of shape. But why stay bent out of shape when Christ can straighten us up? What if we chose to be free rather than tied up and blinded to the possibilities of experiencing the unexpected? What if we celebrated other people's freedom rather than try to protest in deference of our own restrictions? What if we chose to be straight rather than bent out of shape? This woman and others left the synagogue straight, while those who opposed the action left the synagogue, the text says, humiliated or bent out of shape. There's a song several years ago by Mary Mary called "Take the Shackles Off My Feet So I Can Dance." It's a great anthem. So I think that's a song that woman could have sung. "These shackles are gone. I can lift my hands and I can praise his name." Church, there are so many places we can go with this text, and I wish we had the time to go there, but let's use our imagination for a few moments. What if we were that woman? What would our testimony be? You know, when I was in high school and we used to use slang words, "I'm straight" used to be a slang word that I used a lot. It meant a lot too. It's a multifaceted phrase, you know. My mother gave me a plate of chitlins that I didn't like. I don't like chitlins, y'all. So I say to mom, "I'm straight. I'm straight." What would this woman's testimony be? What would our testimony be if we were that woman? In short, it would be, "I'm straight. For 18 years, I was bent over, but now I'm straight. I couldn't even look up, but now I'm straight. People used to talk about me, make fun about me, but now I'm straight. Evil had a hold of me, but now I'm straight. People tried to do what they could for me and it didn't work, but now I'm straight. You would not believe the pain and inconvenience of this back ailment. But now, I'm straight. I'm so glad that I chose not to stay home today. Because now, I'm straight. I was stuck in shackles for years, but they have been removed. I have been set free because I'm straight. And I can't wait to tell everybody I know the day I met Jesus because I'm straight. And I no longer live in the prison of my illness, my infirmity, or my addiction because, church, what if we chose to live free like the woman? What if we felt the touch of God and got straight? What if we let Jesus touch our homes? What if we let Jesus touch our marriages? What if we let Jesus touch our prayer life? What if we let Jesus touch our addictions? What if we let Jesus touch our mistrust of one another? What if we let Jesus touch our misunderstandings? What if we let Jesus touch our relationships? Wouldn't we straighten up? Wouldn't it be time to celebrate? Wouldn't it give us reason to praise God? What if our life of freedom in the kingdom of God was like a mustard seed? Once planted and it takes root and it will grow into a massive tree. What if our life of freedom in the kingdom of God was like yeast? And change caused the dough to expand and rise into a big loaf of bread. Yeast in the dough causes a chemical change in the dough, and the difference is undeniable. Do you see that our response to the activity of God will give rise to growth in the kingdom of God? It will be marked by noticeable change. Not everyone reacted as the synagogue ruler acted. Yes, some people joined in the exuberance of the moment and celebrated with this woman. The text says, verse 17, 13, chapter 13, but all the people rejoiced at the wonderful things Jesus did. Do you need to be touched by Jesus today? I'm asking you, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you to let him into your house. He's in this house today and he's ready to touch you. He's ready to heal you. He's ready to change you. He knows what you need more than you know what you need for yourself. And I don't know if today is the day that God has determined to work a miracle in your life. But I don't doubt he can do the impossible and the unexpected. That's where our faith is, isn't it, church? So I'm begging you and pleading with you to say yes to him and celebrate him and worship him and share him and love him. And when Satan tries to come in, steal your joy, try to lie to you about your life, when he tries to trick you into following him, when he tells you that what you're doing in Jesus Christ doesn't mean a thing, when he tells you you're wasting your time with church folk, when he tries to tell you that you can't trust people, when he tells you that it's better to follow me and all of my vices, look him dead straight in the eye and say what? I'm straight. I'm straight. You can have it. You can keep it. Because I'm a changed individual. I've been touched by the Master. I've been touched by the Messiah. He is doing a wonderful thing in my life. Don't need you, Satan. Don't need you. And the more you say you don't need him, the more he's going to keep begging with you and pleading with you to come after him. Keep looking him dead straight in the eye. We've been empowered to do it, church. Look him dead straight in the eye and say, I'm straight. What if we met Jesus afresh every day? What if we had an encounter with him daily? Oh, they'll be writing scriptures about us. They'll be writing stories about us. They'll be writing a story about my man Kenneth here. Oh, when he set me free, he praised God. He said, hallelujah. They'll be writing stories about Cindy here. Oh, when she felt the touch of Jesus, she praised God. And there were some people looking like, what is she doing? But she praised God all the more. What if we chose to live in freedom? I'm so glad we've been issued a challenge so that we can see in a physical sense what it means to be free, free from debt. You know, we're going to issue challenges for the church to be free from debt. We're also going to issue challenges for everyone in here in your personal lives to be free from debt. I remember someone, I won't bring their name up, but I remember asking somebody about the freedom that they have. They're debt free. Their house is paid off. I just remember him looking at me saying, oh, it feels so good. If we can experience the feeling of being debt-free in the physical sense, right? How much more is exuberance and exciting feeling that we might have when we are free in the spiritual sense? So, church, I want to invite you to experience freedom. Freedom in Christ. Not freedom to sin, not freedom to go back to, but freedom in Christ to serve. Freedom in Christ to love. You know what? We all have addictions. We all have things, vices that we hold to. And we need to get rid of those addictions. But I also invite you to become addicted to some other things. How about we become addicted to God's love? How about we become addicted to God's mercy? How about we become addicted to God's grace? Why don't we become addicted to the family of God? So glad that woman didn't miss Sabbath, synagogue, church, Saturday school, whatever it was she was at. Put yourself in a position to be touched by the Master. Let's pray to God. Some of y'all bowed your head. Pick your heads back up for a second. As we're praying, it occurred to me that in our family, we have members who are suffering long-term illnesses. Some of you are caring for or have cared for family members that have had long-term illnesses. And I've watched some of you care for your family members with you know, long-term illnesses. And I've seen the strain on your face. And I've seen just your weariness. One, I want to praise God for you, that you've taken that step to care for your loved ones, care for your parents or your aunts or uncles or even children. But currently I know that we have some members, and you may be aware of some folks that have some long-term illnesses. And you know that it's not just the physical that they're suffering from, but the emotional and spiritual pain. So if there's a person that comes to your mind right now, I want to invite you to really right now spend some time in prayer for that person. I don't want to plant, but I've been thinking a lot about Gloria this week, and seeing her just hurt trying to communicate, because if we all know Gloria well, she loved to communicate, didn't she? But to see the pain of not being able to communicate like she once did, it's got to be painful. So as we pray and thanking God for his touch and praying for God to do the unexpected, also want you to be mindful of those who are suffering long-term illnesses, and I want you to pray right now with me for those. Let's pray. Oh God, we long for your touch, and we thank you for your touch. And we thank you for the Christ who, during his earthly ministry, fulfilled his destiny, his calling to release prisoners, to set captives free, to release those who have been oppressed. And so, God, we know that we have been recipients of this freedom. And so, God, we praise you. God, please accept our songs of praise this morning as songs that express our gratitude, our thankfulness, our heartfelt gratitude for the freedom that you have given us from the chains of Satan. But Father, we also understand that in our life of freedom, we often get caught up in different snares, whether it's by the emotional toil of sicknesses or whether it's by addictions or other conditions. And God, we are praying that you would set us free from those as well. Touch us and set us free. God, we long to be straightened up as this woman was straightened up, bound for 18 years, but just with one touch, you made her straight. And so, God, we long for that touch. And God, we're also mindful of those in our family who are hurting physically, hurting long-time ailments, back issues, strokes, diabetes, Alzheimer's. God, we are just praying that you would be with our family members. And God, we're bold enough to ask for healing. In Jesus' name. Father, we're also bold enough to ask for healing of our own pain, our own hurts, our own addictions. Touch us and free us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God is so wonderful and so good, and we would love to part of your story with God. If there's something that the church can do for you, ministering to you, praying for you as we sing this song, if you want to share with us, come down here and share with us, and we will do our best to meet your need as best as we can. If you would like to enter into a conversation about Jesus Christ, you want to learn more about Jesus Christ, you want to study with him, we will do that. If you've been studying about Jesus, you've been reading about Jesus, and you've come to a place where you want to make a decision for Christ, you want to profess your allegiance to Jesus Christ, you want to profess your faith in him, you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, we can also minister to you in that way. As we sing this song, understand that he will come and save you. Let's stand, let's sing this song.